too steep to soak food or tea in water or other liquid so as to extract its flavor or to soften it. Very similar to marinade. When you marinate something, you take that item and soak it in water or another liquid in order to impart flavor into whatever you're marinating. Definition 2, to surround or fill with a quality or influence. Example, a city steeped in history. The thing that we have to remember about steeping is that it takes time. The more time spent steeping, the more flavor or impact that is imparted to the item. The following is a message spoken by Rebecca Savage to the family at Kingdom Family Fellowship Church. Welcome to the Edge, folks. Let's get sharp.
It's been really good to study. So I'm like, taste and see that the Lord is good, right? So my message is called Steep Impact, right? I, by nature, am a steeper. So steep impact, steep as in a good cup of tea, right? So the definition of the word steep is to soak food or tea in water or other liquid so as to extract its flavor or to soften it. Another definition of steep is to saturate with or subject thoroughly to some strong or pervading influence. So, Father, as we come together to steep in your word, I ask that we extract your flavor and you soften our hearts. Please saturate us with your presence as we subject ourselves to your influence in Jesus' name. Amen. So, steep impact. We're going to chat about a Bible character that's not often mentioned, and his name is King Uzziah. Right? Which is interesting because the story that we're going to read today is in 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And so when Sister Sean read the scripture today and it was 2 Chronicles chapter 21, I was like, chapter 20. I was like, okay, Holy Ghost, you're moving. Won't he do it? So if you have your Bibles, please open up to 2 Chronicles 15. We're going to read a large chunk of scripture. And then we're going to steep and dig in, okay? We're going to read verses 1 through 15. And it's so good. I'm so excited. God is so faithful, y'all. When you haven't, give me a thumbs up, if you will. A woohoo, if you will. You don't have to unmute to say your woohoo. I can feel it in my spirit. Only do it, amen. Okay, so 2 Chronicles 15, we're reading verses 1 through 15, and the heading is Asa's Religious Reforms. So it said, then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. Listen to me, Asa, he shouted. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation and city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of problem. But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. Verse 8 continues to say, when Asa heard this message from Azariah, the prophet, he took courage and removed all the detestable items from the land of Judah and Benjamin and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them. For many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him.
The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. On that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken in the battle. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram horns sounding. And in Judah, were happy, all in Judah were happy and about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. Can we just say thank you, Lord, for the reading of his word? Because it's good stuff in here and we're about to dig into it. And I'm so excited. Okay. Good stuff. All right. So, part one. So verses 2b, I like to say 3 and 4 have three buts in them and I love them. Okay. So 2b, we have, the first thing I want us to realize is that when God speaks, we have to listen, take it in and obey, but there are contingencies. Okay. So verse 2b says, the Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. This tells us about God's character and a principle you can find throughout scripture. If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. But if you out here over here to the left, God going to be in the same place that he was. Okay. That's a contingency, okay? That's a but, and that's what tells us about the character of God. If we continue on to verse 3, it gives you an example. It says, for a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, and without the law to instruct them. Here's the next one. But is verse 4. Whenever they are in trouble and turn to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. Listen, this is also an example of how to repent, okay? That verse 4. They turned to, they sought him, they found him. Come on, right? So when they turned to him in verse 4, they said, God, I'm going to turn away from what is not like you and is, what is distancing me away from you, and I'm going to turn and face the Son. So when you turn and face the Son, his glory and his holiness will radiate on you. And that causes change, right? They sought him. That means prayer, being in his word, worshiping him, listening to sermons, if you will. And then they found him. God is not playing hide and seek with us. He is ready and waiting always. But you have to allow him to be Lord. That means he has the sit down and shut up card. That he has the no, we're not doing that card in your life. That's Lord. He's Savior. He saves us all. But that's only the basic level of what God can give us and do for us. He also wants you to come on up to a little higher and allow him to be Lord of his, Lord of your life, right? So that means God, I want to go do this, this, and that. And he says, no, I want you to stay home and spend some time with me instead. Will you allow him to be Lord of your life? Amen. All right. So verse 7 is our third but. It says, but as for you, talking directly to King Asa, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. This is an individual word, not a collective, right? Some words are for everyone and some words are just for you. What did God tell you to do? Okay, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. So God is looking for you, not the we, to move forward. It's an individual call that has to be accepted for the body to be complete. So I say this often, that you're a piece of the puzzle and without you, we're not whole. So we don't need you to do every piece of the puzzle. We just need you to do your piece of the puzzle. And that makes all of us whole, right? So God's not looking for you to be an eye when he called you to be a finger. He's asking you to trust him in being the finger. And you trusting him in being that finger infects the rest of the hand, infects the whole body. Make sense? Go team. Now, in verse 8, we transition to the new beginning. So in verse 8, he says, when Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage and he removed all the detestable items from the land of Judah and Benjamin and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. So let's talk about this part. This verse is so good. It said, when Asa heard. Period. What happened when he heard the word and he let it permeate within him and sink down into his soul and his mind and his will and his emotions, right? When he heard, he did three things. He took courage, he removed, and he repaired. I'm going to say that again. Asa took courage, he removed, and he repaired. So he took honest. He took courage. He was being honest and transparent about where he was. He was self-aware. He was receiving what God had placed within him with an open hand. So when he received, then he was able to remove. When he removed the detestable items or the things from his environment that didn't honor God. This is a template for us, right? After he removed those things, then he repaired. You can't go out of order with God, right? First, he took courage. Then he removed the things that were detestable to God, right? Then he was able to repair the altar of the Lord. Which means spend time rebuilding and focusing on his first love, the Lord. There's a quote by Confucius that says, the person who moves a mountain begins by carrying away small stones, all right? So often in life, I'm like, ooh, this is what I see. I'm going to take my mountain. And the Holy Spirit's like, ha, 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 you can have that mountain, babes. But let me tell you what you need to do first, huh? Work on you, huh? Have you taken courage? Have you received? Are you living your life with an open hand? Are you walking in the things that I've called you to do? Are you removing those things that distract you so easily? Or at least turning them down so I can be turned up in your life? And are you repairing our relationship? Our relationship with God is very similar, and it's a reflection of how we deal with people in general. So if I want to be a good friend, but I don't talk to my friends and I don't reach out to my friends and I don't communicate with them on a regular basis, then I can't be upset if I don't get invited to special things, right? You call somebody your friend, okay, you're not coming to my wedding if I haven't talked to you in 2 years, okay? You're not coming to my wedding, huh? If I only talk to you once in a blue moon, and then every time I talk to you, it's about you and not a we. Let's think about this thing, right? So when we're repairing and spending that time focusing on God, right? It's a relationship. So just as much as we want our relationship to be strong and of good courage and amazing with the people in our lives, God desires the same thing from you with him. Amen. That was the first thing King Asa did when he heard. Okay. So we're going to read back through verse 9 and 10. Because the second thing Asa did was then Asa. And we're going to talk about it. Verse 9 says, then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin, along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them, for many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of King Asa's reign. Excuse me. So then Asa, first thing was when Asa heard. The next part is then Asa. What did he do? He called together, people moved, and it was in his 15th year. So called together, Asa extended the internal intimacy with the Father that he had been cultivating and created space for others to join in. That's what happens when we call together. It's an extension of what God has already built and filled up in you and your own personal relationship with him. So if you want to be called or you want to gather people together, it's only an extension of your personal relationship. So that's why you'll find people out here who are lifted up or given spotlight, but they don't last long because it's a direct reflection of their personal relationship with God, with Christ, right? So the same person I am now needs to be the same person and continually growing and processing for the next season that God has brought me to. So I actually shared this with one of my friends. One of my hopes for the future as I'm transitioning into a new season is that God remains the first love of my life, that I will always seek after and love and thirst for him first as my priority, because I see pieces of where I'm going and I trust that he will get me there, but I know I need to stay in the aligned and in the will of the Father in order to do it and him get all the glory. Amen. Go team. So that was called together. Moved is our next part. When King Asa took courage and allowed God to work to be Lord, his life began to radiate. Cue Psalms 34:5. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Huh? When you are doing what God called you to do, being the person God called you to be, no one else, just you, your life begins to radiate. It begins to create a light around you that people question and they ask about, why is she so happy and why do you have this disposition? It's the joy of the Lord, right? So he's radiating. The third thing was, I skipped one, but we're going to come back to it. He's faithful. When they saw that the Lord was with him, they saw the Lord was with God. Excuse me. They saw the Lord was with Asa. So as Pastor Mike said a few weeks ago, he said the fruit has to be produced in you first, right? So the fruit that was produced in Asa was in a place that others could see it. That created people and drew people to him. Those that wanted to be close to the purpose and felt aligned to it moved when they saw. You don't have to beg people to be a part of your life or your mission. That is a choice and a commitment. And it's not for everyone to be in the front row seat of your life. But in due season, when it's God and you're walking in obedience, people and opportunities will come to you. Every job that I have ever had was brought to my attention by another person. Every job I have ever had was brought to my attention by another person. I started working at a Y is because I was teaching theater classes at a studio, and the art teacher there wound up being my boss at the Y. And she said, hey, what are you doing next summer? I have a job opportunity for you if you're interested. It came to me. All I was doing was the last thing God told me to do, and that was teach the babies. That's it. Okay. So I will give you this nugget. Like when we have to be aligned, when we are aligned with the will of the Father, you don't have to worry because it's taken care of. Okay. Here's my nugget though. If you want friends, I will say, show yourself friendly. Okay. You can't be mean and nasty and expect to have fun, lighthearted, kind-hearted friends. If you're mean and nasty, that means you're sowing mean and nasty seeds in your life. That means it will be produced later in your life when you receive back to you your harvest of mean and nasty friends. Right? So if you want to be a boss, start by being an excellent employee. Sow seeds in this season that will produce the harvest in your next. That's a nugget. Okay, moving on to the next. 15th year. It was the 15th year of King Asa's reign at this point. So understand that the process and purpose, the process of purpose doesn't happen overnight. It is a continuing journey until our last breath, because we're all in this together. If we can finish everything just in one lifetime, we wouldn't need the kids or the grandkids or the generations to come or the generations before us. It's a continuing work of the big puzzle that God is completing with us and through us. Amen. Go team. It's so good. I love God. All right. So moving on to verse 11, 12, and 13. So good. And 14. So my third point is they equals together in unity. I'm going to say that again. They equals together in unity. We're going to read through these few verses, and I want you to tell me how many times you hear the word they. Verse 11 says, on that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken in battle. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul, your soul being your mind, will, and emotions. They agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horns sounding. Put in the chat, how many times did you hear the word they? If your camera's on, hold up your hand. How many times did you hear the word they? I see fives all around, people. I see fives all around. Okay, five is the number of grace. I see a hand raised. Come on, five. I heard it. I see it. Five. You heard the word they five times, right? They equals together in unity. God loves unity. And when his people are on one accord, he loves it. Okay. So they sacrificed. What is sacrifice? It's an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else, regarded as more important or worthy. So together they came and together they sacrifice. They gave up something that was important to them because they knew that serving and going after the things of God is more important and more worthy than their valuables. They said, God, you can have it. They said, God, take everything. I don't want it. I don't need it. I just want you. Okay? They sacrificed. Next, they entered. They entered into a covenant. Now, this is not a new covenant. This is the same one that God commanded Moses to give in the Torah. Insert Deuteronomy 6, 1, then verses 4 through 5. It says, these are the commands. Now, this is Moses talking. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Verse 4 says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. 5, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. If I wanted to continue on, we would be moving into the Shema that we sing, that we say often over ourselves. But we're not going there. Read it for yourself because the word is good. Come on, somebody. So this circles back to the promise that God spoke at the top of the chapter. 4, but whenever they are in trouble and turn to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. Where did they find God, y'all? Where did they find him? Right where they left him. And his standard was still the same. before the promised land when he gave it to Moses, and in the midst of the promised land when they circled back around to King Asa, right? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves us and he wants to be in a right relationship with us. But understand and trust and believe that God is not changing his standard for anyone, okay? You will come up and you will raise yourself up to the standard, okay? And the more that you seek him and the more that you get into his word and the more that you allow him to just wash over you with his love and his kindness, the more that you will be refined and redefined into the person he has called you to be. Amen? Amen. Okay. So next was they agreed. They agreed, right? This is when that if anybody refused to seek the Lord, that they would what? Huh? You would be put to death. Like they was actually killing people. Okay. I'm not asking you to kill nobody, but that's what happened. That's what the word says. Read the Bible. We just read it. Okay. And so they agreed. That means to keep the unity and focus of their covenant community. That's what they agreed to. We're going to keep this together. We're going to keep our focus on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to keep this unity together. So it didn't matter how old you was. It didn't matter if you were a man or a woman. If you refused to seek the Lord, you had to die. So because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17, shout out to the Jones family. If people refuse, not even that, this people refuse to allow others room to affect or impact their faith. That's what that means. When they agreed that if y'all trying to get us off kilter, that if you talking about this God over here and this God over there, you have to die. You got to get out of here. You can't be in the midst of this because we refuse to allow other people's voices to impact the faith and covenant that we are making in agreement with God. So my question to you, and let this ruminate around your mind, what has to be put to death in your life? Selah. Friendships, desires that have become idols, whether it be marriage, job, or a business. Your relationship with food, huh? I'm talking to myself. Playlist, favorite TV shows. What has to die in your life? Listen, God been, whew. Listen, when you pray these prayers like purify, like I want to be tried by fire, crush me till the oil flows like rain, you know, God, I want to be used for your glory. Jesus, I just want you. I just want you. Take everything. I don't want it. I don't need it. He'll start to answer those prayers, okay? So when things are being pulled from you and God's asking you to give it back, understand that's the prayer that you prayed when you said, God, I want to enter into this covenant and I want you to be Lord of my life. Ask me how I know. I prayed, I sang that song, Take Everything on a Wednesday morning. And by Wednesday night, God told me to put down my business, okay? But I did it. Whew. And it hurt. And I cried. But I was obedient to what he asked. Come on, somebody. So when they agreed, that says, God, you rule and you reign. Period. So the next thing was, they shouted, we live in a voice-activated world. God said, let there be. And there was. When they shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram horns sounding, right? That was verse 14. They stood on the promises of God out loud. What is God saying to you? What is he laying on your heart? Step one, have you wrote it down? Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain, right? Step two, have you told your inner circle? You're not supposed to be telling everybody all your business. This is something that I'm learning because I get excited about the things of God. And I'm like, guys, guess what God is doing? Guess what I heard today, right? But you have to tell somebody. We live in a voice activated world. You have to activate these things. We the power of life and death is in our mouths, is in our tongues. Speak up to those people who have faith to believe with you, that won't just hear and say, go for it, but will also pray for you and with you. So Lord, if you say it, I'm going to say it out loud. Now that's I'm not going to front with nobody. That's a very vulnerable place to be, huh? Being open and honest and transparent about where you see yourself going and what you believe God is telling you. That's a raw, open, and sensitive place. Sometimes it feels like your heart is in the middle of a road. That's what it feels like. But that's what trust feels like. That's what faith is, right? So don't tell everybody. I'm saying that again. Just tell your inner circle. Those people that you know will go to bat for you, even when you can't go to bat for yourself. Amen. The next thing they did as they shouted was they made their posture and stand known. And the sound that went forth reverberated from where they were to the ears of others. I'm going to say that again. They made their posture and stand known. And the sound that went forth reverberated from where they were to the ears of others. They were using trumpets and ram's horn, and they were shouting at the top of their voices. The sound went outside of the town and city of Judah. People from those neighboring cities and areas heard the sound when they shouted, when they agreed, right? So does your sound reverberate? Do the sound waves of your life extend past you? Are you and your church family the only ones that know that you have a relationship with Christ? Question. Is someone that is in need of wisdom, prayer, encouragement, would they come to you? Question. Just some food for thought. Some things to start circling around your mind, because your life should reverberate the inward love, the inward relationship that you have with Christ. Amen. Selah, I'm soaking it for a second. Mm-hmm. It's all right. If you can't say amen, say ouch, and that's okay. I've been saying ouch a lot. All right. Moving on. Verse 15. It says, all in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. So my fourth point is all in. This is when I would cue my inner four-year-old, five-year-old, and I would shout out, we're all in this together. Hashtag High School Musical. Okay, so King Asa's choice to obey the word of the Lord now has impacted all in Judah. His impact resulted in God getting the glory. So all in. God wants us to be all in, rooted deeply in him. Why? Ephesians 3:18. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. God wants you all in because he loves you. And he wants you to understand that he desires and plans good things for you. And as you continue to seek his face, you will find him, and he will be able to teach you how deep and how wide and how long and how high his love actually is for you. Because the longer you stay out in the world and the world has your ear, it will make you think that I'm not worthy enough to be in this relationship with him. But God loves you now, where, exactly where you are. And at the closer you get and the longer that you steep yourself in him, the more that the water of your tea will be changed. Amen. Okay. That was all in. So after that, they sought after. God's arms are open and he desires an intimate individual relationship with each of us. He is ready and waiting, but his standards will not change for anybody. So understand that seeking after God, yes, he says, come as you are, but once you get in there, you don't stay as you are. That's the standard, but it's all wrapped in his love. Okay. The third is the Lord gave rest. He gave rest. Our heavenly pop, he loves to give and he gives good gifts. When we do less, which is just doing what the Lord told us to do, I promise you, he will do more. Just do what he asked you to do. Just be obedient to the very last thing he said. That's it. And watch him do more. So the impact of King Asa's life, the impact of your life, should touch everyone that is attached to your hands. And here's a little nugget that I found as I was researching and developing it. The name Asa in Hebrew means healer. So in your private time with God, I want you to go back and read 2 Chronicles 15:1-15. The whole chapter is 16 verses. You can read the next verse. You have read a whole chapter. Go team. Every time you see King Asa's name, I want you to replace it with healer. The healer took courage, right? The healer removed. The healer repaired. Then the healer called together. What you are called to do impacts other people. And the more that you stand scared and shrink back, the less other people can be impacted by the power of you being who you God called you to be. Stop walking in pride. And I'm saying stop to you, but I'm really saying stop to me. Because it's prideful to think that these gifts and these talents have to be hidden away. They're not for you. It's all for the glory of God. So when, and this is what I have to tell myself often, get over yourself, Rebecca. Get over yourself. This is the gifting and the talents and the blessing that God has given you. It is our due service. It's our due right to give it back to him and allow what he placed in us to help the other people around us. Okay? This is what I'm going through right now, is what I'm saying to all of you. Amen? So that is my word, but I do have an assignment for you. It's your homework assignment. So it says, back to my first point was when Asa, so when he heard, he took courage and he began working on himself. So the first step on all this, after we hear the word of the Lord, is that we have to be self-aware. God, what are you saying to me in this word? How do you want me to adjust? How can I surrender something even deeper and even more at your feet? Being self-aware. Sister Sean sent this out to us, I think it was yesterday. And the quote was, I can't stay where I am and go with God. I can't stay where I am and go with God. We can't do both. So I have three questions that I actually asked two of my friends. And being self-aware, because this is the first stop. This is the first step. This is your homework assignment, if you choose to accept it. And I hope you all do. These are sobering questions. Okay. So it said, I read this devotional recently and I asked when I asked the people these questions, some of the responses felt like bullets. Okay. But you have to know where you are in order to know where you're going, right? Whew. So the questions are, one, what am I good at? What am I good at? And I want you to ask these questions to at least two people. What am I good at? The second one is, what is holding me back? What is holding me back? The third is, what are the blind spots in my life? Again, what are the blind spots in my life? These are very vulnerable questions, but it's good to be self-aware. Pray about it. God, who do you want me to ask these questions to? Who can I trust that will be honest with me, but also not step all over my heart? Either way, the truth hurts, okay? And that's all right. So some of my responses that I got, I really had to sit with them and process them after the conversations that I had, but I really had to sit with them and be like, okay, God, now what do I do? And one thing he told me was be quick to be obedient. He told me to be quick to be obedient because he knows that I have, one of my blind spot is, both my friends said this, are people. I am a deep feeler. And when I get around people and I get impacted and I get quickly attached to people because, listen, my name is Rebecca Charisse. I am a noose and a knot of love. I have a captivating love. So that doesn't mean that it's the way that I have been created is that I live my life with an open heart. And when I live my life with an open heart, it gets beat up sometimes. Okay. But if I'm quick to be obedient, whether the heart gets beat up or not, I already did what God told me to do. Okay. So that's what I'm encouraging you to do. These are your three questions. We're going to pray out and we're going to be done. So God, I thank you for this word. I just pray that as you soften our hearts and you open our ears to hear, I ask that people who have heard this, God, will get pieces from you, that they hear your love, that they hear your Father's heart towards them. I ask that you continue to permeate this message through their ears, God, throughout the week. Let it come back to them. Let them be reminded of something that you said that can encourage, that can edify, that can exhort them into moving forward into who you have called them to be. Father, we ask for your will to be done in this earth as it is in heaven. We thank you, we love you, and we honor you. You are truly God. Amen.
Impact, definition: the act of one object coming forcibly into contact with another, collision. Definition 2: the effect or influence of one person, thing, or action on another. Influence is the similarity between steep and impact. I am a person of purpose. I am a person of faith. So making an impact, leaving an influence on this world is very, very important to me. But the most beneficial way to leave an impact in this world is by steeping in the presence of God. So by steeping, spending time with God, you are being influenced by Him. And once you are influenced by Him, then you are empowered to leave an impact or influence in this world. Rebecca's message was quite clear in this, and I hope that you heard it. Remember, folks, you are supposed to be leaving this impact. You are supposed to be influential. So please remember that you are not a mistake. You, my friend, are a solution. I love you, and I'll see you on the next one.